And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 4th of August, 2011. It's the anniversary of the first edition of the Saturday Evening Post, 1821. It originated as the Pennsylvania Gazette, which was owned and run by Benjamin Franklin. But in 1821, the Gazette changed hands and was renamed. It was a rather political newspaper until 1898. It was bought by Cyrus Curtis, the publisher of the Ladies' Home Journal, who redesigned the newspaper to make it a magazine and took great care with its illustrations. It was in 1916, a 22-year-old painter from New York showed his paintings to the editor of the Post, and they bought two of them to use as covers. One was a picture of a boy with a baby bottle shoved in his pocket, pushing a baby carriage and being teased by other boys who are off to play baseball. It was the first Saturday Evening Post cover by Norman Rockwell, who went on to do more than 300 more of them. William Faulkner published in the Post, Louis L'Amour, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Kurt Vonnegut, Robert Heinlein, P.G. Woodhouse, J.D. Salinger. Readership started to decline in the 50s and the 60s. Conservative politics, old-fashioned values of the Saturday Evening Post put it outside the mainstream. It ceased publication in 1969, but it has come back as a non-profit, publishing 6 issues a year, and is mainly out to teach the fundamentals of good health. It was on this day in the year 1181, Chinese and Japanese astronomers recorded the appearance of a supernova, what they called a guest star. It was one of the 3 most brilliant objects in the sky. It remained visible for 6 months and then disappeared. To Western astronomers, this supernova was a part of the constellation Cassiopeia, named for the arrogant wife of the king of Ethiopia, who bragged that she and her daughter Andromeda were more beautiful than the sea nymphs, which enraged the sea god Poseidon, who chained Cassiopeia to her throne in the heavens, hanging upside down. More recently, NASA launched its Chandra X-ray Observatory, which gave astronomers their first good picture of the remnants of that supernova of 1181, which we call 3C58, an oval of matter glowing with X-rays and radio waves 10,000 light-years away, with a rapidly spinning neutron star blowing out jets of particles at near the speed of light. Here's a poem for today by Jack Prelutsky. Be glad your nose is on your face. Be glad your nose is on your face, not pasted on some other place. For if it were where it is not, you might dislike your nose a lot. Imagine if your precious nose were sandwiched in between your toes. That clearly would not be a treat, for you'd be forced to smell your feet. Your nose would be a source of dread were it attached atop your head. It soon would drive you to despair, forever tickled by your hair. Within your ear, your nose would be an absolute catastrophe, for when you were obliged to sneeze, your brain would rattle from the breeze. Your nose, instead, through thick and thin, remains between your eyes and chin, not pasted on some other place. Be glad your nose is on your face. A poem by Jack Prelutsky from his collection Be Glad Your Nose Is on Your Face and Other Poems, published by HarperCollins and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.